Coming up on this special episode of DL Weekly,
your emails, Patreon comments, reviews, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this special feedback episode of DL Weekly for the month of November 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to everyone that took the time to send us some feedback about the show. Whether it was a quick note to let us know that you enjoy this show, to some ideas that you may have to help us improve the show. We appreciate you.
Well, we have updated our listener feedback form and updated it on the website. If you could all go to dlweekly.net and click on the listener survey link at the top, that would be excellent. Now, let's get to some feedback.
So our first section of feedback we received from Patreon, first from Tom I. Shelley's pin trading memories have probably been the sweetest story I've heard on DL Weekly. Great interview. It was, wasn't it? That was such a sweet story. I'm so happy that she shared that with us.
Me too. When I was editing, it was kind of funny because when we interviewed her, it was sweet. And then when I was editing it, like, it hit me again. And yeah. I was like, oh, it's so, like, almost teary-eyed. Like,
yeah.
It was such a sweet story. And I think there's some feedback later on that we got from somebody, mm-hmm. right, that it also meant a lot too. So Laura R. said, the wallpaper is not replacing the pins, right? No, the wallpaper is not replacing the pins. We're going to keep the pins for the higher levels every 6 months. The wallpaper is just going to be for the $3 per month level and above as something kind of extra for those levels.
Yeah, so for what she was referencing is we had a live feedback discussion, I guess would kind of be what it was. We were looking for some input for some different ideas to change some things. And so we decided that we were going to include wallpaper. So there was just a little confusion. Like Teg said, the pins are not going away. They're here to stay. But the wallpaper is just something that we're going to be doing down the road as an extra bonus for you guys.
Sure.
From Lee H., hi TNT, purely from a selfish point of view, but I would love you to do a show perhaps on a weekend and at a time I could join live from the UK. Unfortunately, due to the time difference, any shows you do during the week, I'm already tucked up in bed dreaming of my next Disney holiday. So yeah, actually, again, this kind of came out of the feedback episode. We decided that we're going to, instead of only doing the live recording for our Patreons, is we're also going to do a monthly, just kind of like a video hangout thing. So Tag and I will go live and you guys can chat with us and we'll answer, you know, whatever questions or talk with you guys about different things. So we're going to make sure that that's planned on a weekend. We're thinking probably Sunday afternoons.
Yep.
That way more people can join in.
We want as many people as possible to be able to join in on that stuff because we know how nice it is to have like instant feedback and communication with us. So we want to be able to have that. Now on to our Twitter feedback. Joey C. at Cagmo0503 said, almost time, hashtag Disneyland. And he also sent a pic of the front gate of California Adventure with the Festival of the Holidays decoration. So I know that Joey was going and enjoying the lovely food and everything for the Festival of the Holidays. So hashtag jealous.
Next from Laura at Random Mexican. I vaguely remember the music they played during the New Year's Eve celebration. And she's talking about something we had discussed in episode 56.
Yes. Crad S at CStutz77 said the holiday version, this was in regards to It's a Small World and whether if you prefer the holiday version or the regular version. Crad said holiday version is wonderful, regular version is tolerable. I feel like a lot of people feel that way. However, I like the regular It's a Small World personally.
It's just that song. It just right. gets stuck in your head.
So is it brilliant?
Right. So from our friend Chrysanth at Chrysanth Tan, the places you're thinking of are Royal Street Veranda for bread bowls, also where I go, and Cocina Cucamonga, Mexican place across from the Fortune Cookery. And I relate, creature of habit, usually get the same meals and snacks there too. So that was in response to, thank you very much for helping us remember what the bread bowl place was, Royal Sweet Brand. I think that's now like ingrained in both of our memories. We were trying to come up with that during our talk with Connie on episode 58. And all three of us failed on that episode. We could not come up with that name to save our lives. So thank you very much, Chrysanth, for refreshing our memories and letting us know what they're called.
Yes. Richie at mythrill_mage said, when I bought my first starter kit on my birthday, I made a rule for myself that I wouldn't go crazy with so many pins and only fill up my lanyard. I have two pins that I always have available to trade. And this was in regards to our pin trading post. We had the whole episode about pin trading. So we actually got a lot of people saying that they liked that episode and learned some stuff with pin trading. So that's great to hear.
I think that's a great idea because that's kind of been one of my hesitations with pin trading is how to know when to stop, because there's so many amazing, just beautiful, gorgeous pins that are out there and available. Mm-hmm. And you know how excited I get about stuff.
Right.
So it'd be difficult for me to not buy all of them. So I think that's a really good plan to just keep, make sure that you keep yourself limited. And then that way too, the pins that you do choose are just like that much extra amazing and awesome, right?
Yeah, I, you know, we said this in the episode. I like the pins that I bought, and I bought them because I like them, not to trade them. Mm-hmm. But maybe having a couple that I do want to trade might be good.
For sure. Next from WBSI at Brit and Indian, the app is vital. From picking your next fast pass to ordering food to viewing your photos, the app is awesome. We also tried out the Play app and enjoyed the games while waiting for Peter Pan's flight, which was in reply to National App Day. We had a post. Actually, that was just earlier this week. So we were asking people what they thought of the app. And I agree. I love the app. It's awesome. For me, it changed my Disneyland experience the last time we were there.
Now, I have not used the Disneyland app because last time I was at Disneyland, I don't think they had the app out yet. So I did use it at Disney World, though, and I enjoyed it. And I think the adding Max Pass, it'll give you that kind of same experience. So I'm excited to try it when we go in August. Well, now we're going to move on to our Facebook feedback. And so we had the concierge on, our official travel planners of the podcast. And so on the episode that they were on, Christy CS said, looking forward to hearing this one. So I'm glad that somebody was looking forward to hearing it. We did get some weird feedback from somebody that on, I believe it was iTunes, saying that they thought we were pushing concierge too hard or something like that. But I don't think so, because we just had them on to talk about like travel stuff one time. We had them on about talking about the race that we're going to do. And then we also had them on for Disney World versus Disneyland. So I don't know. I think they're a great wealth of information. I love talking to them, and they've got a lot of good travel planning stuff that we don't know off the top of our head. So that's why they're on. We don't try to have them on to push their services or anything. We just do it because we think they have great information.
Moving on, we're going to talk about National Pickle Day. We've got quite a few responses to this. First was from Sarah S. Those pickles are the best. My family thinks I'm nuts because I like them so much. Then from Doug S. I didn't know they made them in three flavors. Is this new? Going to have to try the spicy one next trip.
I didn't know they did flavored pickles either.
You know, I don't know if I've ever... I'm going to have to try a Disneyland pickle next time because that's one of the things that I've always skipped because I'm like, well, it's a pickle. But now after hearing everybody's great reviews, I'm like, maybe there's something special about these pickles. Maybe.
They're Disney pickles. Carrie M. said, after the half marathon, that was always my first stop. Always right by the Jungle Cruise on my way to Pirates and Haunted. She goes left. and then Shelley, who was on the a few episodes ago, said, OMG... What is this, like,
gosh. I don't know.
Yeah, like, OMG. Yes, I love these pickles. I always grab one and walk up Tarzan's treehouse.
Ooh. Deborah B., my daughter gets a pickle for her one snack about every other day we're there. Wow, she must really like pickles.
You know, I've had a pickle there, and I did like it, but now that they have the flavored ones, I think that's going to be the differentiator, because to me, it just tasted like another dill pickle. But now they have the flavored ones, so it's going
to
be something different.
But there is something to be said about when you're visiting the park. If it's a hot summer day, cold pickles are like the most refreshing thing to just kind of munch on because they're...
I like my watermelon, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's kind of like watermelon, but salty.
Sure.
All right, our next two posts are in regards to the Main Street Electrical Parade. Carrie M., when I was growing up, I always wanted to be in the ballroom scene for Cinderella. I wanted to be on the ground in the white light dress. I had the dance down pat.
Wow. And then Jerry G. said, the best part is the hippo pulling the calliope. That's when the Casey Jr. song starts to play, and the bass in that portion of the song is beyond rad. King Leonidas dancing around swinging himself halfway around the calliope has always been my favorite part. I grew up with this parade, born in early 81. Hey, team 81. I was mid 81. and this is still the standard for judging all other parades. Paint the Night comes close, but nothing has yet hit the mark. Now, Jerry, I kind of agree with you. I do love the Main Street Electrical Parade. I do think Paint the Night is a worthy successor to it, I will say.
Fast food day is what we're going to talk about next. So from Becca G, the turkey leg. We're talking about what were your must-have items in the park for quick service stops. The turkey leg. We get one to share and the corn on the cob for all. It's cheap, delicious, and not fried.
That's true. There are a lot of fried goodies at there Disneyland. Are. So Jerry G said the churros are classic, but my heart is torn between the chimichangas and the corn dogs. I'll be there in a couple weeks. I'm going to enjoy all three.
there you go.
Where do you get the chimichangas?
I've not had a Disneyland chimichanga, but I'm sure there's, the Cocina Cucamonga. Mm. You might find them there.
That's
or
true.
Do they have them? I'm not sure. I would think either there or at, what's the other one that you love so much?
Rancho Zocalo?
Yeah, or at Rancho del Zocalo.
Yeah. Could be.
But I don't know.
I tell you one thing. I have not had a corn dog in Disneyland, but the next trip I'm going to have a corn dog in Disneyland.
Ooh, I haven't had a... Oh, no, I have. I had a... we did the specialty corn dog for Pixar
That's
Fest.
Right.
I don't remember what the name
of that
was called.
You're the one that had like the three different...
Yes, it had the three different sections to it, which was yummy. And then I did have, because of everybody's recommendations, I did have a classic corn dog also.
Was that good?
They are delicious.
Did you get it on Main Street or where did you get it?
I got it... I tried a corn dog over at the Stage Door Cafe, and we got to sit out on the patio overlooking the Rivers of America. It was awesome.
Nice. Our next piece of feedback comes from Carrie M., and this is regarding fast passes and what people get fast passes for, basically. And she says, Radiator Springs Racers, the rest I just get as I go. I mean, I'm coming from a life where we waited more than 2 hours for Space Mountain up on a second level in the sun, so 45 minutes is no big deal to me.
Those were not the days, for sure. Holly A. suggests Guardians, and she said it's her favorite.
Jerry G. again said, if I'm going to Adventureland first, then I get a fast pass for Space Mountain. If going to Tomorrowland first, I get one for Indiana Jones.
Oh, so he flip-flops it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's always a toss-up for me, and I think it depends on the day as to where I feel like I need to get fast passes for. In California Adventure, for sure, Radiator Springs Raceways. That I almost feel like if you don't have a fast pass for that, it is... madness
Impossible.
To try
yeah.
to get on there. And the fast passes are for that one. You got to make sure you do it early because they do run out quick. I'm trying to think what second would be on that. Soarin's actually kind of one that I get a fast pass for.
I usually get a fast pass for Soarin because there's no themed queue or anything to hang out in. At least with Radiator Springs Racers, there's a queue that's themed.
Mm-hmm.
I would say anything that doesn't have a themed queue that has a long wait.
You know, the last time, so it was a toss-up, we got our fast pass for, we used the Max Pass when we were in California Adventure that day. I went on the app, got the fast pass for the Radiator Springs Racers, and then we did standby for Guardians, and it actually worked out really well. Yeah. We still had like maybe a 30 to 45 minute wait, but it is a really cool themed queue.
Yeah.
And it was the second time that we had ridden it. The first time we did have a fast pass, and actually I would almost suggest the opposite for that one, because with a fast pass for Guardians, you don't get to go through the collector's collection, I guess would be a good way of explaining it. Like you skip that part. Hmm. So I did really enjoy actually standing in the queue for that one. Now, Disneyland, to me, that depends on the day because it switches for me.
Hmm.
What's your suggestion for fast passes, or do you have a go-to?
I don't really have... Okay, so this shows you how long it's been. But the last time we went... they didn't have Max Pass yet, so you literally had to go to the place and get the ticket. So a lot of times what we would do is we would show up at an attraction, and if the wait was long, we'd see what the return time for Fast Pass was, and we'd kind of make a decision then.
Sure.
So we go over to Space Mountain. Space Mountain's, you know, let's say an hour and a half wait. We look at the return time. We're like, oh, well, return time maybe is 45 minutes. We can go get lunch and then hop on or something. So that's kind of how we handle it.
So you kind of play it by feel.
And Disney World, it was, when we were in Disney World, we used the FastPass Plus system, which is through the app. So very close to what MaxPass is at Disneyland. And the way we did it there was we knew a few of the attractions that from being there for a few days, the ones that had the longest waits, so we'd prioritize those. And then a lot of times we would just pick, we'd see what was in the area where we were and see how long the waits were. So, like, I don't know. I don't really have a plan of attack when I go in. I kind of just enjoy the whole park and go on stuff as I go on stuff. Like, I don't go, okay, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this. It's very... Which is funny because I'm pretty methodical with everything else, but not with this.
So next we're going to discuss train stations. And Becca G says that all the stations are great. If I had to choose a favorite to board at, it would be Main Street. It has benches to rest on while waiting for the next train. I highly recommend using the train to get around the park during high crowd times like parades, when normally easy foot route becomes incredibly complicated with rope closures and crowded walkways. This is incredibly important for me during our last trip. I have a 10 and a 12-year-old, and it's hard enough to keep track of myself in the dark with thousands of people on a mission. This year, we went from Toontown to the main gate and out of the park. No problem.
Yeah, I'll say train stations. I agree. I think, Becca, that's a great piece of feedback, you know, and suggestion for getting out of the park. Especially, the other thing, too, is like... Let's say you have MaxPass and you got a fast pass for Radio Springs Racers and you're back by Toontown. Just hop on the train, take it to the front of the park, and you're right there. And then waiting, I do think the Main Street station has the best waiting platform because you can look out on a Main Street, you can look out at the turnstiles. There's so much to see from up there where I feel like the other stations, Mickey's Toontown doesn't really have a lot to look at. Yeah. Tomorrowland definitely doesn't have a lot to look at.
No, I don't think New Orleans Square is
It's not too bad. It's probably my number two, I would say.
Yep.
Well, Doug S. said, probably New Orleans Square Station I use the most, usually to stop at Tomorrowland to avoid walking through so much crowds and to get a well-deserved break for my feet, but there's no really bad place to board the train. Now, I will also say, unfortunately, that New Orleans Square is one of the hardest stations to board at because a lot of people get on at Main Street and not that many people get off at New Orleans Square. So the wait to get on the train there, in my experience, has been that it's a little bit longer.
Sure. So my experience was slightly different. And actually, the last time we were there, Toontown was the worst one to get on.
Really?
Because a lot of people were getting on it. And this was at night, though. So I don't know how much of it. That does make a difference. I don't know how big of a difference it makes. But we decided to do a loop at night. And we got on at New Orleans Square. And it wasn't bad. Most of the people that were waiting, which was quite a few, actually, got on. And then when we went to Toontown, I felt so bad because they really couldn't get any more people on the train.
Right.
So they all had to wait. But yeah, so it all kind of depends. And it all probably depends on the day, the night. Yeah. I don't know if there's necessarily always a science to it. And sometimes it depends on what cars you have.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the seats are facing forward. And then other times you're in cars that the seats are facing
in towards the park.
Yeah, in towards the park more so. And so...
Do you have a preference between those two type of cars?
I like the ones that are looking in the park better than the ones facing forward.
I like to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff, so I like the ones facing forward because then I can look to the left easier and see backstagey stuff when the other ones are pacing into the park, so you're more
seeing
what they want to see.
But I like the ones facing into the park because then I'm the dork that is practically standing up when we're going over Splash Mountain and trying to see all the stuff that I can see from
That's
above
true.
Splash Mountain. Whereas if you're in the rows facing forward, you have to kind of try and look around
That's true.
Other people's bodies, I guess would be a good way of explaining it. They both have their pros and cons though, for sure. All right, so we're gonna now talk about Small World Holiday from Tim P. That looks amazing. I've never seen it's a Small World over the holidays. And Tim, that makes two of us. I haven't either. And it looks
really
gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Just beautiful. I just can't get over how many lights there are. And I believe it was maybe the holiday special that I was watching. But watching them change out, I think every single doll in there, which we learned yesterday, is over 400 dolls. get some sort of Christmas makeover too. Yeah. So they swap the clothes out or, you know, whatever. I just cannot wrap my head around all that's so much work. So much work. Just amazing.
So our next piece of feedback comes from the Throwback Thursday Disneyland entrance from way back in the day. And Sarah C. said 25-cent parking, because apparently back then that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It is a lot more expensive now.
Just a little.
Right?
Debbie M., wouldn't it be great if it looked like that now? I do miss the old sign. I do really, really like the old-style Disneyland sign. I wish that would have stayed, but
it's hard because my favorite sign was the one that I first went to in the 80s, and it stayed there through the 90s, and it was there when they decided to build California Adventure, and that got taken down. It's the one that you brought me back from Disneyland, the little metal one that I can make.
Yep.
And that sign is iconic. I couldn't believe that they couldn't find some way to work that in.
Yeah.
You do get close with the old school Disneyland sign at the Disneyland Hotel, because they've got that with the monorails at the pool, but still not the same. And then, so then we talked about the monorail and where do you like to sit when you ride the monorail? Of course, everybody has opinions about this. And so Carrie M. wrote in and said, I don't care where I sit. As long as I can rest my feet, I ride it for a break.
Jerry G., I'm a front person, mostly because I don't ride it often. And when I do, I feel super special being up front.
That's good. Bryn W. said, I like the park. Where I can get on and not get squished.
So I agree, Bryn. I totally agree.
Have you been on, like, have they, like, loaded it up too much or something?
Yes. I've been on it where there's people sitting and then a couple people are standing. It's just kind of, I don't want to say awkward, but it is. It's just kind of strange. Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt in Disney World, where it gets really packed towards the end of the night.
Oh, for sure. Disney World, they cram you in there like sardines.
Did you see, by the way, this week, apparently one of the monorails over there, the yellow door, wouldn't open?
No.
I think I was reading this morning.
Oh, no.
So they said one of the doors wouldn't open, and they were all crammed in there around the resort loop, and they left the ticket and transportation center, and it got to the Polynesian.
Yeah.
And the doors didn't open, and they were like banging on the door, and no cast member saw anything or checked. So then they went to the Grand Floridian, and nobody checked, and it got to the Magic Kingdom, and nobody checked. And when they finally, I think it was the Contemporary they got to.
Oh, my gosh.
Somebody, well, they tried picking up the emergency phone, and apparently nobody was on the line.
Oh, geez.
And so finally, somebody was yelling out one of the windows, and one of the cast members heard and actually got the doors open. But can you imagine being trapped?
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway.
That's crazy.
I know that's totally off track, but I thought that was interesting because, you know, there had been news stories about Disney World where the doors were, there was the monorail red last year that the door just opened on during the part of the trip. So that's even scarier.
Good thing our loop isn't that long, so it's not as dangerous in case something happens. Eric J. says, doesn't matter if it's a quick way to avoid the crowds on the way in or out.
You know, I've never used it to gain entry to the park.
Because I never thought about it, but it makes total sense. I had this realization when we rode it last time we were there. I was like, wow.
But do you really want your day to get started in Tomorrowland? That's kind of where it goes.
Well, depending on the day, like if it's my first day, no. If it's one of the days past that,
sure,
then fine. Because how convenient would that be? You could hop right off and go right to Space Mountain.
I suppose.
You could beat the rope drop.
I just really, really like going down Main Street.
Oh, for sure. I wouldn't do it every day, but I could see how it has its advantages.
So then, again, this is more comments on the National App Day, so the app for the Disneyland Resort. Zach L. said, we went to Disneyland for a quick day on the way back from vacation in Arizona last month, and this app was a total lifesaver, especially with MaxPass.
It is. It's such a game changer. If you take the time, because Tay and I were discussing this after the show, just talking about how they're taking down the time board or the wait board in
the hub.
Yeah, in the hub. And how, you know, Tay's like, well, I guess I understand why they do that because they have the app. And I kind of made the comment that, you know, playing devil's advocate, what if you're only visiting the park, this is the one and only time that you're ever going to be in Disneyland. Not everybody likes downloading a million different apps to their phone, so I could see some people not wanting to download and use the app.
Sure.
However, now that I've downloaded it and used it, I will use it each time. I'm also that nerd that checks what the wait times are currently when I'm feeling which is all the time, feeling my sadness that I'm not in the parks. And so I kind of look to see what's going on through the app and kind of get a little peek in there. It's just really cool to me to be able to look and see kind of what's happening.
Well, you can also feel better because sometimes you look and there's long, long, long waits at everything. And you're like, well, I'm glad I'm not there today.
Good thing I'm not standing in that wait. Yeah, I guess. Well, Jerry G said literally using it now at the park. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, Jerry, shoving it in our faces.
Well, we hope you had fun. Yeah. I hope you had fun. Tag's apparently salty about it.
Yeah, that's right. So now we're moving on to some Instagram feedback. And so again, we're kind of going through a lot of the same posts because we do post a lot of the similar stuff to each of the different networks. So again, we're going back to the pickles conversation. And Ace DuJour said, Disneyland's pickles are the best.
See, I've got to try them. So in regards to the fast food day again, Doug underscore Stevenson 88, do beignets and coffee count? I'm making it an option. Mint julep bar for the win.
Their beignets are pretty amazing. I do like the
I've
beignets
I've got to try their mint julep. That's another one that I got to try too.
I had heard so many good things about it and I tried it and I thought, meh, just not my drink. Sure. But I can see why people would like it. 365 Magical Days of Travel said the corn chowder bread bowl
that
was their choice.
Really good. And I don't know if it's because it's winter, you know, it's December in Wisconsin, so it's not really nice and warm, but man, a corn chowder bread bowl sounds delightful.
I love bread bowls. There's something about a bread bowl that just makes the soup taste better.
In regards to fast passes, Tracy Deanne Jones said best idea ever.
And Greg Murray 720 said Indiana Jones is a must have, so I assume that's where he gets
that his, yep, that must be the one that he's got to do. And Mono Real Radio said we just got back and by our accounts Indy is the must have, so
Indy
agrees with
the
Greg
popular
Murray
one. In regards to National Gingerbread Day, Popcorn Clothing UK said any shape will do me, because we were talking about what shape of...
Yeah, you know, what's your preferred shape, yep.
Again, I don't think it matters either.
Mickey-shaped. Oh, yeah. I've never had a Mickey-shaped gingerbread. I should make one now, though.
There you go.
Well, back on the train stations, Holly the Adventurer said that the Main Street station is also her favorite station.
It is a good station. Supporter Alex Waltz said New Orleans Square because it's next to the Haunted Mansion and you get to see the inside of Splash Mountain before stopping at the next station.
I think that's so great. I wish that there were more sneak peeks into the, like, into the inner workings, or not really the inner workings, but just into the attractions themselves. I know the People Mover used to do that.
I was going
to
say.
And that's why I'm so upset that I never got to experience the People Mover, because that would just, that's so, so cool to me.
Well, even in Florida, the People Mover doesn't show you a lot of the inside of stuff like it did at Disneyland. So that's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah. Omarosa 1970, Main Street is my fave, but since I have to use an ECV now, it's New Orleans Square, which I can understand that, because it is much easier to get onto the platform at New Orleans Square versus the Main Street station, because Main Street, you got lots and lots of stairs. That's the only way I've ever gone up. There might be a ramp somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Can you get up there? Write in and let us know if there's a way for accessibility for like a wheelchair or something to get up there, because honestly I can't think of how they get up there, because it's stairs and stairs and there's no elevator.
I can't think. Yeah, maybe there is in the building itself. Maybe there's some hidden,
maybe they just tell people they have to get off at one of the other three stations. Let us know.
Yeah,
feedback at dlweekly.net.
Now I'm curious.
So Sarah M 0190 said in regards to It's a Small World Holiday, I honestly like the holiday version better. The UK room smells exactly like my grandma's house at Christmas time when I was little. Well, that's cute.
Oh, tomorrow leads the way in regards to National Cookie Day. I tried the gingerbread last week. They were amazing.
I heard that the gingerbread is very good. And I don't know about Disneyland's gingerbread, but I had seen the Tim Tracker. Of course, I always have to name drop him, right? He had a piece of gingerbread from the Grand Floridian because they have the gingerbread house there. And it's actually a soft gingerbread, which I kind of like. It's more cake-like.
Sure. Interesting.
LOLOLO 31 in response to the app day said, use it to check wait times and it helps us navigate the day. I like the mobile ordering. I don't know if anybody's talked about that yet, but mobile ordering, I think, is going to be a big plus for us when we're there.
Huge plus for sure. Mr. Caliman 17, I used it yesterday to see when I can go to the Disneyland Resort. See, he's like me. He kind of stalks the park when he's not there. I like it.
Sarah Neurotam said, I've been using it this week to stock park hours in January and double check what attractions might be closed.
I need to create a Disneyland app stocking club, apparently. All of us that stock the park when we can't be there. I love it. Holiday Adventurer, love the app. You can use it for navigation as well. You can click on an attraction, and if you're in the parks, it will give you directions to get there.
I did not know that. I feel like they add many features to this app. It's crazy.
So helpful too, because can you imagine if it's your first visit ever and you're sitting there with the park map? I mean, the park maps are pretty good,
yeah,
but they're not exact. Obviously, sure. And some of these things, it's kind of easy to walk past them and not realize it. Say, if you're looking for, say, one of the quick service restaurants, a lot of them are maybe not like very out there and prominent, yeah, and very obvious. Sometimes they're kind of tucked in. So
Royal Street Veranda.
Yeah, Royal Street Veranda being one of those. So I think it's nice that it gives you exact directions to get to some of these places.
Well, I think Greg Murray 720 says it best when he says, it does it all.
And pack a battery charger. It's very true, because I had it open all the time.
Did it kill your battery?
Constantly. It did, but we did have a battery pack with us.
Good.
And if you don't have a battery pack, they do have those sticks.
What are they called?
The fuel rods that you can purchase in the park. And then you can also turn them in and get full ones, too. They've got a recycle program.
Isn't it free after you buy the first thing?
I'm not sure. I've not used the program, but if it's not free, it's at least discounted.
Yeah. Well, now we're moving on to some email feedback.
So from Lee G, Tag and Teresa, I happened upon your podcast, and I must say I have enjoyed the 6 episodes so far. The show is a combination of many things near and dear to my heart. My wife and I lived the last 18 years in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota, not far from Holman.
Hey.
This summer, we moved to Southern California and become annual pass holders. Hearing people who live close to where we did and love Disneyland like we do has been a great combination. I look forward to each of your new episodes. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all you do. What a small world. That's so cool.
Well, and supporter Alex lives close to us in Minneapolis as well. So there's a lot of Midwest representation.
It's a lot of Disneyland love here in the Midwest.
Which is hard, because I feel like a lot of people that I've interacted with here, everybody's tradition is to go to Disney World. So next up is Kathleen C. Hello, my name is Kathleen, and my husband and I just got back from our Disneyland trip. We had a blast, but we did learn a few things that may be helpful to your listeners. We bought a Fantasmic dining package, but didn't realize that we were traveling during the windy season, and so it was too windy and the show got canceled, so we ended up spending a lot of money on dinner at the Blue Bayou without a show. If we had known it was a windy season, then we probably wouldn't have just tried to get it day by day or just done a fast pass instead. Also, because of the wind, fireworks only went off 2 times in the 9 days. That would devastate me. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
So definitely go when they're available. And the other thing is, we stayed at a good neighbor hotel and didn't read the fine print of extra magic hours and ended up waiting till our last day to use it, but found out that we couldn't that day. It was only for the Disney Resort guests. There was a lot of people that got turned away at the gates for the exact same reason we were. We did cover this on the travel tips thing.
You know what? I'm still confused by it. It's still not, for me, it's still not very clear. I think it's because both things, the extra magic hours and the magic mornings
sound like the same thing.
It sounds like the same thing to me. So yep. I get very confused which is which. So I understand your pain, Kathleen.
Totally. Well, other than that, we had a blast. Cast members just seem so much happier than Disney World people. Food was wonderful. My mother and father also came on this trip, and my mother had a wheelchair, and the cast members were so good about helping her out. We'll definitely be going back. Hopefully, we'll be able to stay at the Disneyland Hotel, because you felt like you were in that Disney bubble when we walked over and visited the hotel. We stayed at the Candy Cane Inn for the proximity, price, transportation, breakfast, cleanliness, Wi-Fi was good. It was a very good option for being more on a budget. Keep up the good work, and even knowing we visit Disneyland already, we will still continue to listen to your podcast. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you. Well, thank you, Kathleen.
Yes, and thank you for all the tips. Totally. I think they're very helpful.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I would probably be in that same boat and not be paying attention to it being the windy season or not the windy season, because that's not something that I'm used to dealing with here in the Midwest. We don't have a windy season, so that wouldn't be something I would research and look ahead at. So very good information. I really feel bad that you had to miss out on Fantasmic and the fireworks. Mm-hmm. That's just such a bummer, but hey, it gives you a great excuse to go back again sometime, hopefully soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Richard S. writes in, hello, Tag and Teresa. I'm sorry this is not really feedback, but I wanted to share this story with you. I don't know if you're having a special Mickey birthday episode coming up, but I wanted to share my story. When I was little, my parents would take me and my sister to Disneyland. We lived in Maywood, California, only 30 minutes away. Every time we went, we always wanted to say hi to Mickey, but my mom would always say, "We'll do it later," but later never came. Since it was pretty pricey for my parents, they would want to get their money's worth, so it was always rides, 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 and maybe an occasional show. Fast forward 20 years later, and I had just returned from traveling all over the U.S., another long story. I came back with no direction or purpose, and I was feeling pretty down. My sister surprised me with my own annual pass.
Oh, what a great sister.
That was not scripted. That was awesome. On our first trip, she said, "Hey, want to finally meet Mickey?" I was like, "Nah," but she convinced me, and we went to Mickey's house. As we waited in line, I saw other people waiting anxiously and excitedly, and all I kept thinking was, "Oh my gosh, these people are lame." My sister asked what's wrong. I said, "Maybe 20 years ago this would have been cool, but aren't we older now?" My sister smiled and said, "Wait until you meet him." When it was finally my turn, I turned the corner, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Mickey. I fought back tears as I walked up to him and asked, "Mickey, is that really you?" When he shook his head yes, I gave him a big hug. I said, "It's so great to finally meet you," and he returned the hug. My sister took a picture, and a few tears ran down my face, and I told him things hadn't been going so good, so thank you for everything. As I walked away, he tapped me on the shoulder, gave me another hug, and as he let go, held on to my shoulder and gave me a tap on the chin as if to say, "Go get 'em, kid." Since that day, I've been out of my sad funk. I found a great job, worked hard, got my own place, got married, and have a beautiful little girl. Earlier this year, I bought my wife and I a Disney Signature Plus passport. We take our little girl every weekend and keep making wonderful memories every time we go. Well, thank you for reading, and thank you for the podcast. It's genius. Viva Tag and Teresa. Viva Disneyland Weekly. Such a touching story. We're getting such great, amazing, magical moments that people are sharing with us. So thank you so, so much, Richard. That just, each time, that's probably like the fifth or so time I've read that email. And each time it just gets me. It's just like, oh.
Yeah. It's amazing how even as an adult, like, you know, what's changed from when you're a kid, really? I mean, just people get that sense of wonder kind of knocked out of them by life.
Which is really unfortunate.
But that's why people love Disney so much, because you can, kid at heart.
Exactly.
Well, Sean S. emailed and said, "Hi, guys. I just wanted to drop you a line and let you know how much I've been enjoying the podcast. I'm a new listener, having discovered your fine show in the last month or so, and have been binge listening all of the back catalog of episodes as I do my best to get through my long days at work. My wife and I will be heading from Southern Oregon to Disneyland in 2 weeks to hang out in the parks for several days, soaking up the festive holiday atmosphere and indulging in all of the new yummy treats and foods that the resort has rolled out for the season. We can't wait. I already listened to several Disney-centric podcasts on a regular schedule and have added Disneyland Weekly into the rotation, as I'm always looking for Disney magic, especially in the long waits between trips to the parks. The personality and positivity that you both bring to the show makes it infinitely enjoyable, and you guys seem very fun and personable. Thanks for making such a great podcast, and I may very well become a Patreon supporter soon. If I may ask, are either of you Disney collectors of any kind? I collect the Disney statues and figurines, as well as pins and an assortment of Disneyland memorabilia, and my wife enjoys Disneyland and park-specific merchandise such as sippers and popcorn buckets. I think an episode on Disney collecting, with an emphasis on Disneyland memorabilia, could be fun and entertaining, and maybe fill a week where news isn't so heavy. Not like that has a chance of happening anytime soon with all the changes coming to Disneyland and California Adventure. Anyway, keep up the great work, and I will more than likely still be working my way through your older episodes as I'm on my way to Disneyland in 2 weeks. Take care and keep your ears on. I like that. Keep your ears on.
I love that. So thank you so much, Sean. I'm so glad that you found us, and I'm so glad that we made it into your Disney podcast weekly mix. That's so cool. And I love that. So on the question of collectors, I would say, yes, we do collect Disneyland-related stuff. I don't know if I would say there's a specific category of things that I collect. Overall, I'm a big squished penny or pressed penny person. So every time I'm in the parks, I make sure I bring a ton of shiny pennies and quarters with me. So I go around and go to the machines and get pressed pennies. And it's just something that I've always done since I was a kid. That's not specific to Disneyland, but I mean, it's extra cool because it's Disneyland, right? Plus, it's just nice because it's a 50 cent, well, 51 cents, I guess. 51 cent little thing.
It's easier to carry back in your luggage and stuff.
Yeah, too. Yeah. I just started getting into ears. I purchased my first pair of ears this year, and then two very wonderful, awesome listeners sent me pairs of ears this year, and I still can't believe that they did that. That was so kind of them. But so that's going to be, I'm going to make sure I pick up a pair of ears each trip. But other than that, I really enjoy the movies. So in my house, which we're sitting in right now, I'm looking around at my Disney stuff. Some of it's park related, some of it's not. It's just kind of a collaboration.
I would say for collection, I like collecting stuff that reminds me of like visits there. So a lot of times I'll get pins, different pins that I like or I think look cool. I try to get one with a year on it of the year I was there.
Sure.
Obviously, if there's anything special, I have the Pirates of the Caribbean pin when they had the premiere, which was nice.
Yeah.
I also have like my park guide maps. I always make sure I keep a crisp, you know, I grab a crisp guide map on the way out to keep as a souvenir. And so that's kind of what I do.
So we definitely, I love that idea though. We should, we'll put that on our list of future discussion topics is to have a talk about collectors. And maybe if there's somebody who's a very avid collector in different things, so maybe if you're a big person in pins or like the sippers and popcorn buckets or ears or whatever, you know, if there's one specific thing that is your go-to and you kind of, that's your thing, please let us know. Email in. It's feedback@dlweekly.net because we'd love to maybe talk with you about that more and possibly have you on the show.
Absolutely.
All right. So last email is from the Bellers, which you guys might think that that last name sounds a little bit familiar. We actually were privileged enough to be able to announce their son's surprise birthday trip on the podcast. Oh, gosh, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago. Maybe it's been over a month because they went to the Halloween party. But anyways, the Bellers wrote in and they wrote this awesome and amazing, and I very much appreciated the email because they went down and said, this is our day by day rundown. These are the attractions we did on each day. These are the different foods we tried, all that sort of stuff. I loved all of the details. Unfortunately, it was just a little bit too long for us to be able to put it all in the feedback episode. So this is just a shortened version. But they write in saying, we stayed off property and were definitely confused by early magic hour and the magic morning.
Again,
you know, we talked about it with the concierge and I'm still not quite set on it. Anyways,
Disney needs to do something because obviously.
We showed up to the parks an hour early thinking we'd be able to use these. We didn't find out until we were at the gate that we could not enter. You know, that happened to Vern and I. We thought we were going to sneak into California Adventure early on. I think it was our last day. We got it and they're like, nope, it's just the hotel guests today. So we just explored downtown Disney for that extra time.
Yep.
Anyways, as we were walking away, a cast member chased us down from inside California Adventure and gave us an early morning pass for the day.
Oh.
That's really amazing. This is one of the reasons that we love Disney so much. We recently got the Disney Visa, and while at the parks, we realized that one of the perks was an exclusive character meet and greet. My wife was dressed as Minnie and daughter as Stitch. Somehow, we were lucky enough that these were the two characters at the meet and greet. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. How, I mean, come on. Out of all the different characters, that's crazy. Mickey's Halloween party was awesome. We literally came home with a suitcase full of candy. This was our first time to see Fantasmic, and it was well worth the Blue Bayou package. To be honest, it's the only way to experience it. We were at the very front and could also feel the heat and the spray from the fountains. I'm with you, and I don't know how I feel about the fact that I've done it, because it's just going to be really hard for me to watch it not right in the front row now, because it was such an amazing experience to watch Fantasmic with the Blue Bayou package and being able to sit right in the front. So it's going to be hard for me to be standing in the back now, but I mean, I'll survive. Lamplight Lounge is beautiful, but overpriced for what was on the menu. And this was our first time to eat at the Red Rose Tavern. The food was not that great, and the kids' sandwiches were prepackaged, which was disappointing.
That is kind of disappointing.
That is. Once again, thank you so much for helping us make this trip special. We love the podcast as it helps us build excitement for our trips and keeps us informed in between trips. We love Disney so much that sometimes I find myself looking for more podcasts. To be honest, we have listened to others, but this is the only one we subscribe and donate to. You guys are so awesome, and we can't wait for what is to come. Well, thank you guys so much. And again, I'm sorry we weren't able to read the full email, but I really appreciate that you guys took the time to write it all in there. It was so fun to see all of like what you guys ate and experienced and saw and did. I just loved it.
Teresa reading your email like vicariously lived through you guys.
Yes, exactly. I was right there with you.
Finally, it's been a couple of months, but we actually have a voicemail that somebody called and left with
us.
Yes. So this is from Michael, and he's got a great story. Again, this is from kind of spurred on between Shelley and Connie, both having these great stories of being a cast member. So he's got a story because he also was a cast member. So let's listen to that now.
Hi, Tag and Teresa. This is Michael, the truck driver. I was just listening to your most recent show about Shelley. I'm not sure if I told you this, but I was a cast member, and it got me feeling a little emotional. I thought I'd share a couple stories with you about me making some magic for our guest. I had two tour duties with Disney, one as a third shift custodial and one as a security screener. Well, when I was working with security, I had a husband come up to us and tell us that it was his wife's birthday. So being the people that we are, kind of goofballs, I got everybody in our security tent to sing happy birthday to this lady. Didn't think anything of it. We sing happy birthday a lot. But I got called into our manager's office thinking I did something wrong. I was really scared. And I got a certificate for a guest compliment. I was completely shocked. And a second time, I was also security screening, and I had this little girl in the Elsa dress come through our tent yelling at the top of her lungs, "I'm Queen Elsa of Arendelle." Well, I was feeling like a goofball, so I said, "Welcome, your Majesty," and I did the big, deep bow, and her face just lit up, and she ran over to me and gave me the biggest hug, and it just made me feel all warm and gooey inside. So, like Shelley said, guest compliments do go a long way. Their cast members are really special people. I'm not saying that because I was one, but guest compliments do go a long way, and they do get to the cast member. Just like what Shelley said, try to get their name and their hometown. It has their hometown on their badge.
So again, just some really amazing examples of how cast members just really are the heart and soul of the park and really bring the magic right to the guests. And I'm so happy that these people, these guests that you did these little extra special things for, you know, kind of gave you some recognition and took the time to go talk to guest services and talk about how great you were and how you made their day special. And I'm also very happy that you got recognized by Disneyland. I think that's really great because, you know, it to some extent, it's probably an expectation that you guys do a little bit above and beyond for making sure that guests have a very magical experience. So it's great that they still, even though that's, I don't want to say it's part of your job, but, you know, even though it's something that's probably slightly expected, it's great that they still go above and beyond and give you the recognition that you deserve for it and just don't ignore it and be like, yeah, thanks for doing your job. See ya. Yeah.
Well, we would like your voice in our feedbacks episode. So if you want to leave a voicemail for us that we can play on a future feedback episode, please give us a call. The phone number is 657-345-4445. If you didn't catch that during the episode, or you're driving, maybe listening to this, that kind of thing, you can always go to our website at dlweekly.net, and it is on the right-hand side of the page under Contact Us. There's Leave a Voicemail. You can send us snail mail, or there's the two links to the different email addresses for feedback and trivia. So we love getting all that. Producer James is thrilled when he gets trivia questions from you guys. He always makes a big deal and says, "Oh, I got trivia from somebody." So definitely, definitely. do that. So as we wrap up, we want to thank you for listening each and every week. If you like what you're hearing and you want to support the podcast, you can help us out by becoming a patron. Patrons get some nice perks, including access to a chat with us and fellow Disney Parks fans, and some DL Weekly swag. Find out more at dlweekly.net/support.
Well, if you're in the midst of saving for your next Disneyland trip and can't support the show with money, then help us out by sharing DL Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you may know. If you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some DL Weekly swag, head on over to dlweekly.net/store to pick some up.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.